Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Oh, y'all are kind. Oh, stop it. Y'all are sweet. Now, hold on. Hold on. Wait a minute. Whoa, wait, wait a minute. Can you keep doing that for a while? No. I'm just joking. I want you to give King Jesus the greatest clap offering and standing ovation you can give Jesus this morning. Lord, we love you. You're here. You're showing off and showing out, God. You have your way. Woo, Lord, these folks are ready. Amen. Sit down. Don't get comfortable. You'll be back up in a minute. Wow, good to see everybody this morning. Are y'all ready for the Word of God today? Man, I mean, just praising God. I mean, I don't know about the rest of you, but whenever time I come here and I get to hear the praise and worship and the direction of Brother Leon and all this stuff, I just get caught up and I start worshiping God. I forget y'all are behind me and I just about forget everybody's here and I want to take off running around the building, and then I remember I'm Assembly of God and I sit down. And I'm just kidding. But I'm just telling you that you can sense the presence of the Holy Spirit here. Now, I know this about God. I know that God doesn't waste time. He does not waste time. And when he brings us together, there is something he wants to impart to every single person in this room. So let me ask you, how many of you are ready to receive that this morning? Amen? You're ready to receive that. I do. I study hard. I'm like, Pastor, we study hard. We really do. And we study ourselves to death, and then we pray ourselves back to life. And then we bring you the Word. So we believe that God has something for you this morning. Amen. So I want you to grab your Bibles. How many have your Bibles with you? Come on, you know me. Shake them in the devil's face. Come on, raise them real high. Make him mad. Make him mad. Make the devil mad. All right, the rest of you, where are your Bibles? If you don't have a Bible, right after this service, and I know it's probably because you can't afford one, that's why you don't have one, I want you to go to the nearest hotel after this service, and I want you to steal a Gideon. Would you please? Amen. Lord will forgive you. I'm just having a little fun. Don't you love to have fun in the house of God? Man, when I was out there in the world, man, my life was a wreck. But how many thank God when you come into the house of the Lord, there ought to be joy in your life. Amen. I want y'all to get ready to turn to the Word of God. Turn to Philippians chapter 3 this morning, chapter 3, verse 7. I want to encourage you. There's so much teaching material out there that'll bless you. Feed your faith. There's always something God wants to grow you in the Lord. I just always love coming back here, folks. I mean, I look forward to the opportunities to come to our church, to your church family, and to be with Pastor Joel and Donna. I just love these folks so much. Man, I just love, y'all love them, don't you, around here? I mean, just, wow, they're just amazing leaders. And, you know, some leaders are Saul leaders and some people are Paul leaders. You know what I'm talking about? There are Saul leaders that are so threatened by envy and competition, they won't let anybody that is beneath them excel beyond them where they work. They are so threatened. If anybody excels, anybody does better than them, they are so threatened on the job. And then you meet folks that are like Paul, who sit there and say, come on, fight the good fight of faith. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I'm going to tell you, your pastor and his wife, they're not threatened by other churches, not threatened by ministries. They are kingdom-minded people. And I thank God we're around folks that want us to succeed and say, you can do this. Through Christ, you can do all things. You can change your life. You can bless your marriage. You can become what God has called you to be. How many of you thank God that's the kind of leaders God has put in this church to lead us and grow us in this house? Amen. I just believe that. And I love you for it, Pastor. Amen. And he always lets me come back. Now he loves me so much, he quit telling everybody I'm his foreign exchange student. And I can tell he loves me now. Amen. Let me ask you this. How many of you, seriously, you know, I shouldn't assume. I've been here quite a few times, but how many of you have never heard me before? Hold your hand up. You've not never heard me before. Are you for real? Seriously. I bet you're just tripping out over my last name then, aren't you? You're looking at that Sam Ridgefava riboflavin. You don't know what. My last name is spelled. Really, it is. It looks like it's in tongues. But it's spelled R-I-J-F-K-O-G-E-L. Now, I know it looks like it should be pronounced Reifkogel, but it's really pronounced Jenkins. And you'll be blessed. Some of you need to smile. What happened? You know? My goodness. Get a little joy in your life, you know? Man, I know why some people don't want to get saved. They look at some Christians and look like they've been baptized in formaldehyde. Man, when you come in this house, it is on, man. The praise, the worship, the joy, the fellowship, it is on. Right? Come on, everybody stand with me. We're going to read the Word of God together. You know, the Holy Spirit has really been talking to me about a new year for you. And I mean not just that we're in the month of January, we're starting 2014. But I'm really believing that God is wanting to do something transformational in your life. Whether you don't know Jesus and you're here and you're at a different level of faith and you may not even have faith in Jesus. And those of you that have been around here since Hector was a pup, you can never assume that everybody's at the same level of spirituality as you. There are folks that are in here that may not have a clue. They may be Hindu, they may be Buddhist. You don't have no clue. You have to think about people who don't know Jesus, and this is their first time to walk in this place. But I'm telling you, whether you do not know Jesus Christ at all, or you've been serving God, and you were around when they wrote Amazing Grace, I'm telling you, God wants to bring transformation to you through His Word, because His Word never leaves you the same way. Every time you encounter it, it's changing you inside out all the time. And so, you know, the January is the new beginning. And if any of you are familiar with it, you know that January was named after the mythological Roman god Janus. And it had two faces. And one face was looking forward and the other face was looking back. And that's why it's called January. It came from that name of that god, that Roman god. Problem is with some Christians is they want to look forward, but they're always still looking back, and they never leave from where they are to get to where they need to be. And what I understand that you have to reflect on things, but there's some of us in this room, you need to turn loose and let God create something new in your life. He's got something for you. Somebody say amen to that. You know, God's going to do something good, you know? You're all asking God to do great things, you know. It's the time, new beginnings. How many started a new diet? How many don't want to admit it? I have a good diet you can use. Let me just start this out. I'm going to listen. This is just, well, I turn off all the infomercials. I have the best diet you can get. And on this diet, it'll work. I'm telling you, it works. You can eat anything and everything you want. Forget the fat grams. You can just fill your gullet all day long. But when you're done eating, you have to eat a whole onion and a half a clove of garlic. I'm telling you, it works. Now, you don't lose any weight, but you look smaller from a distance. Okay. Oh, did I tell you you need to come back tonight? Anyway, okay, here we go. Ready? Philippians chapter 3. Here we go. Are y'all ready? Here's the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the power of the Holy Spirit telling us that God is telling us what He wants to say to us through this man. He says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. In other words, that's the bottom line. Have you grown in Jesus, young man? Have you really matured, is what he's saying? Because that's the bottom line. I don't care how much money, I don't care what you drove in. Are you growing in Jesus? He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, that I'm just this good little Christian, I'm keeping all the rules, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, But I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. In other words, there's an assignment for you. Brethren and sisters. Let's just say sister. Sorry about that. I do not regard myself to have laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God. This is the word of God. Woo, something's going to happen to you this morning. Are y'all ready for it? Look at your neighbor and tell him, say this, high five and say, there's going to be a new you in a new year. Tell him that. There's going to be a new you in a new year. You can be seated in the house of God. There can be a new you in the new year. I promise you. We all start with good intentions. We all have great New Year's resolutions and all this thing. You know, it's kind of like the wife looked at her husband. She says, well, I don't want to brag or anything, but she says, it is February, and I want you to know I have kept all of my New Year's resolutions. She said, they are all in an envelope tucked in my desk. How many believe that the Holy Spirit really wants, it never returns void. He is always moving us toward something. When you leave this room, I'm telling you that something has disconnected if you have not been changed, not moving forward, because when you encounter God, he gets you to shake off things that hinder you, and he gets you to move toward the assignment and the call he has for you. Now, some of you may not think this, but I'm telling you, young lady, you can sit there and text all through the whole service, but you're missing what God has for you. There's an assignment on your life. Don't blow it. Don't miss it. Now, if you want to tweet something great, I say, you go ahead and do that. Okay? What I say is pretty important. But I want you to see something, because this is really important. When you look at what Paul is saying here, he is saying there is something that if you are wanting, and because some of you are going, yeah, I want that. I really want that. I want this in my marriage. I want this in my career. I want this in my life. The pastor, I really want this. Then there's something Paul says. I love Paul. He's so concise. He gets right to it. He gives us four things that if we want to see something happen transformational in us, a process that God will work in our lives, through this year, constantly doing it, he said there are four things you got to get out of this word that he's given through the Holy Spirit. So get your notepads, get your Bibles ready, and write them down. Here's the first thing he tells you. And they're all FPs, so you can remember. No, it's really so I can remember it, because my memory gets short sometimes. Since I turned 50, let me tell you, the thing I miss the most, I can't remember. But anyway, let's go on. Number one. Here's what he tells us. Number one, Paul says you got to flee the present. Flee the present. Look at Philippians 3:12. Really write this stuff down, because in 16 days you will forget 92% of what I've said. Seriously, unless you download it or you listen to it again, you'll forget almost 92% of what I've said in 16 days. Write this down. He says the first thing you need to do is you got to flee the present. Look what he says in verse 12. He says, not that I have already obtained it. He says, there's something God's given me. He's spoken to me. I haven't obtained it. What he wants me to be, I haven't obtained it or have already become perfect. But I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. There's something God's called me to do. There's a reason why I exist. I haven't reached it yet, but I'm moving toward it. I'm pressing toward it. So what is he saying? What Paul is simply saying is, now this is the Apostle Paul, okay? This is the Apostle Paul. This is not Sam Reifkel, but this is the Apostle Paul. He's saying, I haven't attained this. I haven't arrived. I am not God's gift to all these wonderful people. I have not arrived. I'm not the perfect person. See, Paul was sanctified, but he wasn't satisfied. He was grown in God, but he said, I can't say that this is the end. Too many believers are like that. See, here's Paul. Look at Paul. Paul has this dynamic prayer life. This guy is writing scripture. I mean, this guy is winning people to God. This guy's planting churches. And you would go, oh, look at the Apostle Paul. Oh. And he's saying, what I'm telling you is, I have not arrived. In other words, when he says, I'm not perfect. Doesn't mean that he wasn't. What it meant was that didn't mean that it wasn't flawless. He meant I haven't completely matured yet. He said, in other words, I'm still improving. He says there's room for improvement for the Apostle Paul. As wonderful as I'm connected with God, writing to you in an inspiration of the Scripture, he says, I have room to grow in God, and I cannot stay where I am. I got to keep moving. I have to mature. He's trying to flee the present. Now, you think about that. This cat could have rested on a lot of stuff, okay? Look, the guy's writing the bestseller. He could rest on that. The Bible says he's been to the third heaven, okay? The third heaven, he's been there. He's got all this revelation from God. I mean, think about this just for a moment. This guy is the greatest pastor, the greatest missionary, and the cat says to us, I haven't arrived yet. So what is this saying? What Paul is saying is that Paul was saying, I realize that I am mature enough to know that I'm still not mature enough. I'm mature enough to still know that I'm not mature enough. See, the real mark of maturity, if you really want to know the real mark of maturity, is to realize how immature you still are. There are some believers that will walk into the body of Christ. They will never take a note. They will never read their Bible. They will think, I've got it all. The Apostle Paul is saying, if he was here today, I'm going to tell you what he'd be doing. He'd be listening. He'd be taking this. He'd be studying. He'd be getting his heart, even though he's getting all this revelation from God. He said, I've got to flee the present and keep pushing myself as a believer to press and do more for God. Have you met some believers that have been serving God for 35, 40 years and still have not won anybody to the Lord? Have you met believers who have been serving God for 30, 40 years and still have never served in the body of Christ to, you know, be an usher, be a greeter, or start a small group or do something, and they're just taking, taking, taking? You know, and I love, how many, you know, I love, they're not growing, they're not developing. You know, I love babies in the body of Christ. How many love babies when they get in your house? Yeah, babies are great, you know, they're life of the party. They make a stink, but they're the life of the party. But there's some believers, you know, when we get in here, we got new baby converts in here, and what does pastor do? Just like with any physical baby, we make sure the bottle is right. We don't want to burn them. We make the food is right. We change the diapers. We put up with the stink. We don't beat them and yell at them because they're crying. They're babies. We understand it. And we understand that that's a process. But there are some believers that have been in the body so long that we're getting tired of parting your mustache to get the bottle in. I sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit in this room. See, here's what Paul is saying. Paul was so full of God. You know why he was so full of God? Because he kept emptying himself. He was so full of God because he kept emptying himself. And Paul was successful because he never thought of himself as successful. He kept saying, there's more God wants for me. I got to keep on growing. I know I've gotten this. I know that I'm a board member. I know that I've been in church all my life. But there's something more. What is God saying? Is he stretching you? What are you moving from to move toward? Not holding back for what you have from yesterday. What is God saying now? Someone said this, and I love this. God sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves. Tweet that. That's good. That's put it on your Facebook. Tell me your church. Seriously. God sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves. And that's why James 4:6 really tells us. God resists the proud. He resists the spiritually arrogant. But he gives grace. What's grace? Grace is not the stuff you just get saved. Grace is the stuff, the power to break off the things, to move forward. It's the stuff. It's the energy of God that makes you become what God wants you to be. How many of you believe it's time to bury the past and possess the future? It's truly a successful person that realizes that success is not a destination. Success is a never-ending process. Paul gets it. He says, if you want to become a new you, in a new year and grow in God, first thing is you got to flee the present. You got to turn loose and say, there's more for me that I got to reach for. Ask the Holy Spirit, am I doing that? Here's the second thing. Write this down. You don't only flee the present, but you have to forget the past. Forget the past. Philippians 3:13, he says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. What's Paul saying here? Paul says you can't focus on where you are going if you don't forget where you have been. He says you can't keep looking forward if you're always looking behind. Now look at the terminologies he uses. Now look at Paul. He's always talking about sports, okay? He's always talking about athletic activities. All these terms, look at these terms in there. He uses the word press on, reaching forward, goal, and prize. These are all athletic language that he's using. Leaning into the tape, pressing forward. He's talking about goals, reaching out. He's talking about prize. Now, in the race, there is one unimportant thing, and there are two important things. And here's the one unimportant thing. Where you've been is not important, but where you are right now and where you know you're going are extremely important. And he's saying the reason why some believers never, ever move forward is because they're like that god Janus. They're always looking back more than they're looking forward. How can a runner run if he's running like this? How can he win the race? He's got his eyes off of what happened yesterday, and he's constantly fixing his eyes on what's ahead. And Paul says, spiritually, there are some of us that are still holding on to things, and we're not moving forward. I like something Winston Churchill said. He said, if the present quarrels with the past, there can be no future. If there's always that struggle, if it's winning, if looking back is more than looking forward, Paul says, you've got to forget what has happened behind in this past year, what happened last night, and say, what am I going to do with today? Where am I headed? And there were several things that Paul had to let go of. Because when he's saying, I got to forget what's behind, how many know the brother needed to have some spiritual amnesia? How many know he had to forget a lot of stuff? Now, under the sound of my voice, some of you can line up every failure and every sin right now and line it up that would ever keep you from coming to God. Paul says, you got to forget that stuff to get to where God wants you to be. Because this cat had to forget a bunch. He had to forget guilt. Why? Because how many know Paul was a murderer? And he's murdering people. He's persecuting the church. I mean, look at this guy. He's a blasphemer. He blasphemed. He was a persecutor. He had murdered people and did it in the name of God. I'm going to tell you, I don't know how many murders are sitting in this room, but if you're sitting in this room thinking, Pastor, I don't think God could ever... This guy was a murderer, and he said, in order for me to go forward, I got to put that behind me, the past, the sin. I don't know what somebody's sitting in here with. I don't know who you slept with last night, and you're sitting there, I could never be forgiven. There's some people saying, I'm still bound by the pornography. I'm still bound by the adulterous affair. I'm still bound by what I did there. How many know it is time to bury the guilt behind you and start running toward what God says he wants you to be? Come on, you got to see, the guy had to run from guilt. Paul isn't disconnected from us, folks. Paul is like us in a lot of ways. He didn't only have to run from guilt. How many know the guy had to run away from grudges? You want to talk about grudges? This guy, when he finally gave his life to Jesus Christ, this guy suffered terrible persecution. He'd been beaten 3 times with rods. He'd been left at the edge of the city for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was scorned. He was alienated. He was ostracized from his own family. Look at this. He had to take all the offense, and even Christians, when he got saved, that separated from him. Demas has forsaken me, loving this present world. He said, I've mentored and poured in this. I paid for the guy's light bill, and he's not coming to church anymore. And he says, I got to forget the people who did me wrong. He said, it's time to move on from that. You know what? Whenever we hold on to offense, let me tell you, I'm trying to make this decision in my life that when I get offended by someone, especially someone who loves me or in the body of Christ, that I want to make it a one-time event that I get offended by them. Let me explain that. If they offend me, I got to make a decision. What I'm going to do, well, either I will choose to stay mad and angry and offended and let it affect my life and my kid's life and my wife's life and everybody else's life. But every time I rehearse that and I play it in my mind, every single time I am reliving the event and I'm offended 2x, 3x, 4x, 5x, I am asking God, help me make a decision that when I get offended, it's once and I quit that and move on and reach to what God has. You know what some folks need to do? They've been saying, don't you know what the last pastor did? Don't you know what the last job did? You know what sometimes what we need to do? We need to just go down to Home Depot, buy a ladder, and get over it. I don't know what that ought to be a scripture. I think it ought to be a scripture. He forgot past guilt. So who in this room is still holding on to the ex? Who's holding on to the last employer? He says, if you're going to see the new you, you got to forget the past. It's time to move on. It's time to move on. Then he doesn't just talk about grudges. He talks about you got to let go of past glory. Now, you want to talk about a cat that had a lot of glory. This guy was the superstar in the early New Testament church. This guy was getting visions. He was the toast of the town. Signs and wonders were happening. He had begun to pass the apostles, Peter and John. He had passed those disciples. He was becoming the superstar. And now he was the one everybody was looking to. But even that, he said, I count everything I have achieved as dung. I'm going to move on for my glory to see what God has next for me. How many know some folks can just get stuck? You got to move on. You know, it's kind of like the lady, you know, she was sitting at the Super Bowl on the 50-yard line, and all of a sudden this gentleman sat beside her right on the 50-yard line at the Super Bowl. He looks at her, and there's an empty seat beside her. And he looks right beside her, and he says, is that seat taken? She says, no, it's empty. He goes, who in their right mind would be so crazy? That is the dumbest thing. Right here, the Super Bowl 50-yard line, that they would leave a seat empty. Who would do such a crazy, foolish, dumb thing? The greatest event on the planet Earth, and they leave a seat empty. She goes, well, actually, it's mine. She goes, that seat right there, she goes, it actually belongs to me. I was supposed to come here with my husband to this Super Bowl. And we have come here every year since we were married in 1967, and my husband has passed away. He goes, oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry to hear that. He goes, I'm sorry. He said, couldn't you get a relative or a friend to come with you? She goes, no, they're all at his funeral. How many know that's moving on with life, man? That is forgetting the past. Man, I don't want Brenda to do that to me. Come on, weep and mourn a little bit, you know? It's time to move on with your life, man. How long are we going to keep blaming everybody? I'm not trying to trivialize the pain. I'm not trying to trivialize the abuse. I'm not trying to trivialize it. But I'm saying, how long will we allow the enemy to hold us hostage in grief? We have to go through the seasons of grief. But how long will we allow the enemy to hold us in grief and grudges and guilt and in our past glory? Well, I remember when. You can never forget, because I'll tell you what, they fired me from our job, and don't they remember what I did? Get out of the past glory. And what is God saying today? You know, for some of us in this room right now, some of you need to clean out the skeletons of your closet and move on. Clean them out. Forget the past. If you're going to move forward with God. And you know what? When I say forget, when he says forget those things of the past, can I tell you, when he says forget does not mean fail to remember. That's not what it means. The word forget there does not mean to fail to remember. I don't know about you, but I don't forget my past sins when the spirit of stupid was on me. I don't know, all of you are so holy that my testimony, I just love the Lord all my life. I promise you, nobody's told their whole testimony. Nobody has told their whole testimony, right? Yeah, all three of you. Amen, yeah. Forget doesn't mean that I have amnesia, that I don't remember and God wipes his hand. It doesn't even mean that God has amnesia and he doesn't remember. Here's what the word forget there means. It means I am no longer influenced or affected by my past. It's what Hebrews 10:17 says. God says, I will never again remember their sins or their lawless deeds. This doesn't mean that God has a short or bad memory. That's not what it means. What God is saying, he says, I don't care what they've done, but the blood of Jesus, when you come under it, he says, I will no longer allow your sins or your past to have an effect on our relationship. I am going to bless you. I'm going to bring you into the new adventure. How many thank God that's the kind of God you serve? That's the kind of God you serve. Don't allow the past to affect your relationship with him. You know, I heard about one guy, you know, his girlfriend had broken up with him. He called his girlfriend back and he got the voicemail. And this is the voicemail recording he got. It says, she said, I'm not available right now, but thank you for caring enough to call. I am making some changes in my life. Please leave a message after the beep, and if I don't return your call, you are one of those changes. I believe there's going to be a few people change their voicemail today. Amen. I just believe it's going to happen. You know, there's some things you got to move on from. Paul says, if you want to see God do this transformational thing, you've got to flee the present and quit acting. He's saying, don't be so arrogant like you got it all together. Are you pressing? Are you growing? Are you in the Word? Are you reaching out to people? Are you getting involved in giving your life away? And he says, then forget the things that are holding you. Come on, move on. Move on to what God has. He says, and forget. Don't allow them to affect your future any longer. You can't go forward. You know, isn't it interesting that when you go home today, I'd love to see this. I would just love to see people drive home like they live their life. I'd like for you to try to pull out of here today and drive home using your rearview mirror. Try to get home driving like some of us are living. Always looking back, looking at the last pain, looking at the last sin, and letting that affect our life. You can't do it. How many thank God that your front window is 90% larger than your rearview mirror? You know the reason why? Because God intends you to move forward. It's the same thing. You ought to give 90% of your energy to what's in front of you and about 10% of your energy to what's behind you. Learn from it. Grow from it. But don't let it hold you. How many thank God it's time to flee the present and it's time to forget the past. Here's the third thing. Look at this. I love Paul in his writing. Look what he says. He says, now you got to focus on your purpose. Focus on the purpose. Now look at verse 13. Just two words that are just so strong. Look what he says. He says, one thing. These two words are powerful. One thing. Those are very important in the Bible. The one thing. Ask the Holy Spirit, what is the one thing that you want me to purpose on? When you look at the Word of God, that one thing you see through the Bible. You know, when the rich young ruler, he had all those things, and he came to Jesus Christ, and he says, Lord, Jesus, what do I need to do to be saved? Jesus says, there's one thing. He said, Jesus, point, there's one thing you lack. Look at King David. Look what he said in Psalm 27:4. This is really worth writing down. Psalm 27, verse 4. He says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek him. What's the one thing? What one thing was Paul seeking? What was the one thing Paul was seeking that was the 90% of his energy and he left the rearview mirror is only 10%? It's only 10% of what you're looking back. What was Paul saying? Paul said, I'm looking to this. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now take that word goal for a moment. That word goal there in the Greek is the word skopos. Skopos, it's in the Greek. And what it really comes to mean, it means to look at. It's where you get the word telescope. Skopos, it means that I'm going to fix my eye on the one goal, he said, for the prize of the high calling of God. He said, I got to fix and start centering on it. What is the one thing the Holy Spirit is saying? I want you to begin to target this in your life. This one thing, what is the skopos that you're really coming down to? And he says, because I'm moving toward the prize. Now, there's something about this word prize. In the Greek, this word prize is closely related to a word called umpire. It's closely related to the word umpire. When you watch a baseball game, there's an umpire who's making all the calls, making sure everybody keeps the rules. What does this mean? It means that whatever I am focused on, this prize is what I'm going to use to determine my life decisions. And Paul said, you know what my life decision is? You know what my prize is and all my decisions are based around? It's not based around my latest writings. It's not based around the greatest church I just planted. It's not based upon the revelation when I went to the third heaven. He says, my greatest prize that every decision revolves around is Christ in me, my relationship, my walk with Jesus Christ, and everything turns around the center of that hub in my life. Oh, come on, friends. Whatever is center is what you have to live on. So listen, if your center are your kids, now I love my children, but my children cannot be the center of my life. I got
gotta make sure they get in the right school. I gotta make sure they got the right car. I gotta make sure they can make all the sporting events. I'm gonna miss all my Sundays to get them to the sporting events. I'm gonna go to all of these things, and they're gonna, everything is about my children, my children. When your children leave you, you're left with nothing. Or if they fail you, you're left with nothing. Some of us are straining, sir, you've got all your retirement plan. You're all set. And you made your money your whole thing. So every decision is based around money. You hold your money. You're not, there's no purpose with your money. You're getting all you can, canning all you're getting, sitting on your can. That's all you're doing. Just holding on. So every decision is based on what is the center of your life. Everything revolves around it. Some of us, listen, some of us go, man, I just got to have, some singles, you're going, I got to get married, I got to get married, I want to have sex, I want to have sex, I want to have sex. If, listen, if your whole mind is sex, that means every decision you make is based on sex. Everything revolves around that. Paul said, all of these things are a heap of dung. He's not saying that they're not important in life, but he says they cannot be the center and the control of your life. He said the prize that umpires every other decision, how I raise my kids, how I deal with my wife, how I deal with my sex life, how I deal with my future, how I deal with managing people, is based on one thing. What does Jesus Christ press? Everything revolves around him. And guess what? Money will fail. Your kids can fail. Your marriage can fail. Your body can fail. Your company can go bankrupt. But there's one thing that will never fail you. It is Jesus Christ, the solid rock, and everything on him stands. Come on, that's what he's saying. That won't fail you, sir. Teenager, that won't fail. Your little boyfriend, he can bolt in a minute, but Jesus is not going to bolt. Woo, I'm getting blessed. Focus on the thing God has called you to do. What did he say to you? Paul says, when I get in that relationship, he starts revealing me the things that I need to focus on. I like what Mark Twain said. He said, the two most important days in your life is the day you were born and the day you discovered why. The two most important days in your life is the day you were born and the day you discovered why. Paul says, focus on that. Let God umpire you. How are you treating your husband? How are you treating your wife? Let Jesus umpire that. You know, rivers are powerful. You know, rivers can produce electricity. Rivers can produce great cruises. And you know what makes them powerful? Is when they have banks on the side of them. But the moment the water overflows the bank, it floods town, it destroys things, because there is no focus to where it's supposed to go. How many of you thank God you have God's word and his Holy Spirit guiding you toward Jesus Christ, that everything has power and produces great things for God? So here we go. Come on. Focus. Flee the present. Forget the past. Focus on the purpose God has called you. Here's the last thing. We're coming in for a landing. Y'all ready to come in for a landing? Here we go. Here's the word of God. Philippians 3:14. He says, I've got to finish this process. God is doing a work. And everybody say process. Look what he says in verse 14. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Look what he's saying. He's saying, finish. Let God finish his work. No matter if you fail, get back up and go again. See, how many know it takes more than inspiration? It takes more than perspiration or aspiration. How many know it takes Holy Spirit determination coming into you to get it done? You know, as a pastor, I get to watch things. I live out relationships. You know, when I was an evangelist, I had 5 good sermons. I blew in, I blew up, and I blew out. As a pastor, I get to live out relationships, and I get to see people, and I get to work my relationships with them. It's one of the most beautiful things that I never got to experience in ministry, was living out relationship with a group of people. I love it. But I've discovered something. Some folks quit too soon. They get one nasty, belligerent boss, and they quit the job too soon. I meet students where the class is just too hard and they won't study, and you just quit too soon. I watch people quit too soon on their marriages, quit too soon on their church. They quit too soon. And there are just some folk that never start at all, you know. It's like Bob talking to Joe, and he says, hey, man, he goes, let me tell you something. He said, there is nothing like getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning. He said, man, and taking a brisk run through the park. He said, then, man, he goes, you come home, you take a good shower, and you begin to read your Bible. He said, I'm telling you, there is nothing like it. You eat a healthy breakfast. He said, there is nothing like it. The guy says, how long have you been doing that? He said, I'm starting tomorrow. Paul says, let God finish this work. He's working it in you, folks. And Paul had to overcome some insurmountable odds. Folks, it was unbelievable what this guy had to go through. Let me tell you something. They got beat, stoned, shipwrecked, accused, and he's preaching the gospel. And what does the guy get for it? What does Paul get in the end of this? He gets an axe chopping his head off. That's what he got. Think about that. Paul and Silas, here they are, delivering demons. Paul's delivering demons, preaching the gospel. And because they delivered a girl from a demon and they've been preaching the gospel, the Bible says they get thrown to a jail, locked in stocks and bonds, beat with whips. Rats are running through their infestations in the wounds, and they're sitting there. And I don't know about you, but when I get done preaching, I prefer an offering. What does this guy get? Now listen. Listen for a moment. The determination of the Holy Spirit in you. This guy gets stoned, beaten, and what does he get for it? An axe chops his head off. And all you could hear were them Roman soldiers singing, another one bites the dust. But not Paul. Here's what Paul says. Paul, in the middle of it, he declares this in 1 Corinthians 15:58. He says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. That's what he says. He writes down Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. He writes down Romans 8:37. In all these things, he said, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Come on, friends. How many of you thank God you are an overcomer and a conqueror and you never let loose? So what are you going to do with this today? God never wastes his word. What you going to do with it, sir? What you going to do with it, ma'am? Let God work in your life. I want you to stand with me. I'm going to ask Pastor Leon to come. Holy Spirit is in this room to do his work, folks. I'm telling you, he is in this room to do his work. Holy Spirit, would you show my brother right now that this really can change? That his situation really can change. Father, right now, I know right now this young man is probably disconnected. But Holy Spirit, would you now just take this and illuminate to him? I really do have a plan for you. Let the prize of knowing me umpire every decision you make. Instead of allowing these things to become your center, your core, do like Paul, the one thing. What is the one thing? That I can gain Christ, that I can know him in the fellowship of his suffering, that I can begin to know him in his power, that I can begin to know him. Lord, would you show this lady right now she can change? Would you show my friend right now that they can overcome no matter what? Now, Holy Spirit, I delivered your word. Now you are the one that has the power for transformation. Paul said it was a process, but Lord, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And that first step is our act of faith to say, God, I'm going to lay hold of you because you laid hold of me and you've got a plan for my life. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask this just for a moment. How many Jesus Christ followers in this room, how many Jesus Christ followers this morning are saying, you know what, Pastor Sam, there is something that has been trying to get me to hold on to the past. I may have mentioned it. I may not have mentioned it. The Holy Spirit may have surfaced it. It makes no difference whether you're a teenage young lady or you're a grown businessman in this room. It makes no difference if you've been serving God all your life or you just recently come to Jesus Christ. But you love Jesus. You're a Christ follower. But you can see how the enemy is getting you to lock your face on something his back. And God is saying, it's time. Flee the present. Don't stay in status quo. Forget the things of the past. Focus on what I originally called you to. Finish the assignment and seek after my face. And let me work my process. You say, today, that word was for me, Pastor. That word was for me, Pastor Sam. It was for me. I want you just to put your hand up and say, Lord, that word was for me, and I thank you for it right now, and I need your impartation of your power to get it done. I want you to lift your hand up as high as you can get it. Just hold it up high. Would you lift the other hand up beside it, and would you start praising God right now for what he's going to do in your life? Lord, I just feel it in this room. Those hands that are raised right now, there are some of you that love Jesus. And I only want this. If you are a Jesus Christ lover and you've got the faith to believe, you see a brother in front of you, my brother, put your hand on his shoulder. Let him know that you're praying for him. Maybe it's your wife or your husband. Both of you are lifting your hands because you're both agreeing for the same thing. We want to see the change. Would you grab a hold of them right now? Just grab them and begin to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to touch you. Right now, begin to ask. Some of you ladies, you see another lady with her hands raised. Would you just begin to put your hand on her shoulder right now? Now, Jesus, your word says, one of us shall put 1,000, but two of us 10,000 of your enemies to flight. They'll flee, they'll leave. You said where any two are gathered in your name, you are right there in the middle of it. You are ready to move and operate. So God, right now, right now, as brothers and sisters, as husbands and wives, as friends are had their hands on each other, God, right now, putting their hand upon the shoulder, Lord, I am asking you for an infusion and an impartation of the power of the Holy Spirit to bring transformation in Jesus' name into their life. Lord, loosen anointing, and Lord, I pray, like etched in stone, Father, take like etched in marble, Lord, what you have spoken to them today. God, I pray, may they go home right after the service and write down what you have said to them today. Write it down. And God, may they lay hold of that which is laid hold of them. Satan, I rebuke you. Take your hands off of God's property. The only reason why you've come against this lady, the only reason why you've come against this couple is for one reason. You know what God has assigned for them. You have an indication of what God's purpose is in their life. And all you can do is distract them. All you can do is try to discourage them. But I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit quickens their heart and their mind. You will do what God has called you to do. You will go through the process. And you will walk out saying, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves me. Loose it, Holy Spirit, right now. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask hands go down for a moment. I got one more question. I've got one more question today with heads bowed, no one moving, just for a moment. This is a safe place. This is a safe church to be in. And the reason it's safe is because we are all fellow strugglers wanting to be more like Jesus. And we know our own flaws, and we're watching God work in us. So we allow other people to come alongside who are in the same journey with us. It's a safe place. We don't condemn. We say, God's got something better for you. But if today you walked into this building, you walked in here today, and you say, you know, there's something I need to turn loose of, Pastor Sam, and I'll tell you what it is. I need to turn loose of my sin. I need to turn loose of wanting to do it my way and start following Jesus Christ. And Pastor Sam, I got to be honest with you. I do not have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And I want to connect to God. I want to do like Paul, focus on the one thing, my relationship with Jesus. But I'm just going to tell you, Pastor Sam, I have just not been in relationship with God. I know there's sin in my life that I have not dealt with. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you do have, maybe you are a Hindu. Maybe you are a Buddhist. And you're saying, I've searched all these things, but Jesus Christ is the answer, and I want him today in my life. Or maybe you've been raised in this country, a church on every corner, but you've never surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Before you leave this building, you've got to do something with what has been told to you today. And you say today, Pastor Sam, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to give my life to him today. I need his forgiveness to come in my life, and I want it before I leave this building. If that is you, just as easy as those other hands went up, when I count to three, would you just lift your hand and say, Pastor Sam, I need Jesus to come in my life. I need his forgiveness in my life today. When I count to three, just lift it up, and transformation is going to happen in this moment. Holy Spirit, give them faith to lift their hand. You ready? Come on. One, two, three. Just lift it up. Pastor, that's for me. I need him in my life today. Hold it up as high as you can get it. Just lift it up wherever you need it. This morning, you need it. Thank you, sir. God bless you, brother. God bless you. If it was only for you, brother, I'm telling you, God's going to change your life today. Church family, I want you to say this prayer with me. The gentleman that raised your hand, I want you to say this prayer with me. Church family, I want you to join him. Before pastor comes, I want you to say this prayer out loud. Brother, say this. Church family, join him in faith. Say, Jesus, you've got a plan for my life, and I'm not going to get in the way anymore. I'm going to let you have your way. You made a way for me that I could be forgiven, that I can be whole, that I can have joy, real joy, that I can have purpose in my life. But it's not going to happen if I don't allow you to lead me. So today I surrender. Jesus, come into my life. Take over today. Wash me clean by your blood. Take all my past sins, all my past failures, and wash me clean. I believe this, Lord, because you are the Son of God. You died on that cross, and you rose from the dead. And today I'm free. I'm clean. I'm forgiven. I'm saved. It's a new me in a new year. And I thank you for it. Amen. And amen. Can we give the Lord the greatest standing ovation of praise? It's good.
Please just be seated for a moment. Someone wrote an email of our session together yesterday, and it said, no lie, I wrote 11 small pages of notes about the significant things the Lord was saying to me. I felt like an angel was whispering to my heart. I now have purpose in my life and a better pathway. The ministry has been very, very rich this weekend, Friday night. Yesterday morning, a most unusual session. And again today, we've received rich teaching from the Word of the Lord. And the Scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, this, let the elders who perform the duties of their office, the NIV says, those who labor in the church, let them be considered worthy, double worthy of honor. And in parentheses, the Amplified says, adequate financial support, especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. I know about Sam because I know about my own life that you cannot bring forth messages that are so laden with the Word of God, so laden with Holy Spirit application, unless you labor faithfully in preaching and teaching of the Word and study of the Word. And on behalf of this congregation, I just thank you for your, beyond your preaching from the pulpit, I want to thank you for the Tuesday mornings and the Thursday mornings. in the Wednesday mornings where you seek God's face and you study God's word, because it's very, very evident in the preached word. The scripture's clear. These people who do this are worthy of our financial support. Father God, I don't know what Sam and Brenda's needs are, but I know that you want us to show them double honor this morning in a financial way. And I pray that you speak to our hearts as to that which we can bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please take an offering envelope from in front of you, just like Donna and I have done. On the right-hand side where it says especially for Sam R. I know you can't spell his last name. I can't either. R is fine. Sam is fine because this whole offering will go to Sam. And then how much? If you're writing checks, make them payable to Christian Celebration Center. If you say, I want to bless Sam because of this weekend in his ministry in my life, but I need a few weeks, I need a payday or so, take a pledge card. It's right there in front of you, the pew. Pull it out, fill it out, keep the reminder, turn the pledge card in. This week, on about Tuesday or Wednesday, we will send, Brother Sam, your gifts in the offering this weekend, plus your pledges. And we will wait for those pledges to come in from you. If it's easier to give online, you can do that this afternoon. But we'll total all of this and send it to him this week. Because I'm a pastor who believes that a local church should not sit on other people's gifts. They shouldn't sit in our financial coffers. They need to get out the door, out the door. I've been just kind of over the edge about that. They've got to get out the door to those people. So we don't keep these monies. These will be out the door by middle of this week. Ushers, please come forward. Thank you so much for your generous gifts of the messenger of the word. Please receive the gifts. We've already prayed. Sam, if you just take a moment to turn your microphone back on, and we're going to have a 6 o'clock service tonight. Would you please tell us what the Lord's laid on your heart for tonight?
Yeah, you know, I know that there's a, you know, I believe in binding devils and loosing the power of God and, you know, taking authority over demonic forces. But tonight I'm going to teach on a principle from the Word of God that we minimize that will send the enemy fleeing from your family and your home. One principle tonight. And I believe it's going to change your life and your approach on how you defeat the enemy. And you're going to get blessed by it.
That'll be at 6 o'clock tonight. We only have about 3 Sunday night services a year. And I told our congregation when we went to this schedule many, many years ago, if we have a Sunday night service, it'll be worth your time. It'll be worth your coming out. It's not going to be a rerun of Sunday morning. And I told us on Friday night, you know, you're only one service away from a great change in your life. I know for Donna and I, yesterday morning was literally off the charts. Our lives will never be the same because of yesterday morning's message. Maybe yours is tonight. So I encourage you to go home, get some rest, and be back. Kelly will have a kids' service for our elementary age. Of course, there's preschool care and young people, adults. Youth are having a prayer meeting, their monthly prayer meeting down in the fellowship hall, and they're shortening that a little from 5 to 5:45. I would encourage all of our teenagers to be in the Lord's house tonight. So they're going to come prayed up because they're going to have been in a prayer meeting for an hour before the church service. It's going to be a good night. Stand, please. I pray the Lord would bless you and keep you. The Lord would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And God would grant unto you a sense of his purpose in your life. You're going out and you're coming in and you're lying down and you're rising up. In your labor and in your leisure and your laughter and your tears. Till we all come to stand before Jesus in a day that's not too far away. You have a good afternoon. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock.